Join with me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here we encounter such a mysterious theme in Advent Scripture. This child of God and what he means, Emmanuel, God is with us. What a great mystery. I still feel, especially in these days leading up to Christmas, a childhood full of wonder in the Advent season as I contemplated this great word, Emmanuel. What does that mean? God is with us. Well, not to be too particular about it, says the prophet Isaiah, when God is with us, there is peace within and peace without. If I could put into my own words what Isaiah means by Emmanuel, when God is with us, nothing can do us harm. Think about the images that Isaiah uses, those lines of poetry concerning the kingdom of God that just roll off the tongue. We hear them with such frequency in these Advent days. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. When God is with us, the wolf lies down with the lamb. The calf and the lion and the fatling are together, and a little child is leading them. When God is with us, a child plays over the adder's den. When God is with us, in other words, there is safety and security. What can hurt us when God is with us? When God is with us, we are at peace. We have nothing to fear. For generations and generations, the Hebrew people had prayed for a Messiah, a Savior. And Isaiah's poetry conveys to us what the Hebrew people were hoping for. The Christian tradition, of course, proclaims that Jesus is the answer to Isaiah's prayer, the Savior that Israel long awaited. But we know that the Hebrews weren't asking for Jesus specifically. In fact, their experience, Isaiah's experience, was separated from Jesus by some half millennium or so of history. But when Jesus is born, we understand him to fulfill all the hopes, all the dreams of Isaiah that were recorded so long ago. And here the tradition of Emmanuel has its origins in the oracles of Isaiah. Before Jesus was called Emmanuel, Isaiah had promised a child by the same name to a nation that needed a Savior for different reasons. The story is set in the midst of fearful and uncertain circumstances. 600 to 700 years before Jesus is born, the holy city of Jerusalem is besieged by an alliance of northern and Syrian aggressors. And Isaiah's job is to offer some comfort and reassurance to Ahaz, the panicked king of Judah. Unnerved that enemy forces have marched so close to the gates of his city, alarmed that supplies are being cut off, the king is losing his composure. He's asking for a sign that things will be okay. Give me a sign, Ahaz says. Give me a sign that we will survive this. Give me a sign as deep as Sheol, or give me a sign as high as heaven. Give me good news or give me bad news, the old king pleads. Just tell me something even if it's not what I want to hear. Anyone who has prayed earnestly for something must be familiar with the feeling of Ahaz in this passage. Just give me a sign. And Isaiah, exhausted by the old king's fretfulness, responds with a bit of sarcasm. Is it not enough for you to weary the people around you, he asks, that you have to make God weary too with all your pleas and petitions? Isaiah and Ahaz have a long conversation about what it means to trust in God. And Isaiah tells to Ahaz that he should consider this woman, we know nothing about her, just consider this woman who is pregnant. And he tells the king that her son will be named Emmanuel, and that before he is old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, he will be eating butter and honey. Butter and honey. Choice foods, don't you think, for a city under siege and running out of supplies? So Isaiah is telling Ahaz that the siege won't be successful, and that before this kid is able to eat solid food, the gates to the city will be open with new supplies. But anyone who has read the old scripture of Israel knows that he's also referring to the preferred diet of the promised land, the land where milk and honey flows. Does this woman not have faith that her child has a future? Isaiah is asking. And he tells the king what he wants to hear in this instance, but he does so in the language of the covenant. In the midst of this terrible siege, when the people of faith face the possibility that they will lose everything, Isaiah says, "Take heart, God is with us. Remember the faithfulness of God to this earlier promise that God has made. Remember the God who brought you out of Egypt. Remember the God who delivered you through the wilderness. Remember the God who built this city in the first place. Why do you now think that the God who remembered you throughout your whole history has suddenly become forgetful? Let this child be to you all the sign that you need. God is with us." For Ahaz, the enemy stands at the gates. But we know that in every age, we are menaced with the false narrative that all hope is lost, or that we are forgotten, or that God is not faithful. What is it now that has us praying for a sign? Tell me anything. Tell me anything. Make it good news or make it bad news. Just give me a sign. And I suppose when we ask God for such a sign, we are looking for some signal that circumstances will change, that all will be okay, that we will make it through. And that's certainly what Isaiah or what Ahaz is asking for. God, get me out of this pickle. But the notion that God is with us is not simply that God is on our side. That's different. Emmanuel means God is with us. That means God loves us. God is faithful to us. Not necessarily that God believes what we believe, or that victory for us is victory for God, but that God is faithful to what God has created. Among those Gospels that comment on the birth of Jesus, Matthew is alone in pointing out just how vulnerable the Holy Family was. Luke tells us about the visits of the angels. Luke tells us how meaningful was Mary's pregnancy. Luke tells us about all those doting visitors to the manger. But Matthew takes us inside the family drama. Joseph and Mary didn't know what to do about this pregnancy. Joseph was bitter at the news when he heard it, and he's under the moral pressure of family and friends to end his engagement to her. Meanwhile, Herod has ordered a census to ferret out the rumored Messiah. And this family that is so bewildered and so poor and so afraid has to sort things out between themselves while they're also on the run. How many signs do we think Joseph prayed for in those days? A sign that he could trust his wife? A sign that his child belonged to him? A sign that they would make it to Egypt and back through the wilderness while the hounds of Herod are nipping at their heels? And how many more signs must Mary have been pleading with God for? A sign of understanding. What is going on here? And that's when the angel comes and tells the old story of Isaiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. God is with us. This is not a sign that answers Joseph's questions. This is not even a sign that persuades Mary that everything will be okay. This is not that kind of reassurance. God is with us. It is the peace that Isaiah invoked in his poetry. Peace inside and peace outside. When God is with us, we have nothing to fear. Paul would later call it peace that passes all understanding. So it's interesting to me that after promising this sign and elaborating so much on Emmanuel, Isaiah has nothing to say in his oracles about how Ahaz survived the day. At least in this passage, Isaiah doesn't tell us how the siege ends. And if you're just reading from the prophet's oracles, you really don't have any idea. Isaiah just points to the sign. Remember the faithfulness of God. The sign that we are given is not a simple promise that things will go our way. It's not the assurance that God is with us or will seek victory for us. It's just a sign of God's presence and God's promise. A star that rises in the night sky for all of us to see. A child born in a manger. A word, Emmanuel, that points so mysteriously to God's presence. This sign is not just a salve for our latest affliction. This is grace that extends from the center of God's love for us. Peace to dwell in every quivering heart. It transcends our daily worries. It touches our most intimate fears. Remember, God is with us. Amen.